I'm Kevin Davis, and this is the Catholic Family Podcast, and I am very honored today to be joined by two priests, two good priests from Nigeria, Father Thomas Ojeka and Father John Okerulu. They've been really great to come on here with me. I was even a little bit late coming on, so the fathers are extremely patient with me and humble. I really appreciate that with them, as always, coming on the podcast and giving their expert priestly opinions. Today, we're talking about something that is one of the most important topics of all. It really is. It's so incredibly intertwined with everything we do or should be, every moment of every day, really. And that topic is divine providence. And today we're going to have Father Ojeka is going to kind of lead the conversation because he's very nice to us to do that for us. And we will just try to, have a conversation on the topic. And hopefully Father, I'm sure he will. Fill us in on the topic again of divine providence. So, Father Jacob, if you want, we could maybe start with a prayer.
All right, thank you very much. We'll take our prayer from the collect of seventh Sunday after Pentecost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O God, whose providence in the ordering of all things never fails, we humbly beseech thee to put away from us all harmful things and to give us those things which are profitable for us. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, who lives and reigns with thee in the unity of the Holy Ghost, one God forever and ever. Amen. Mary, seat of wisdom, pray for us.
Pray.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you very much, Father Ojeka. And again, Father Ojeka has been on the show a few times. We always greatly appreciate it. Father Okerulu, this is his first time here, so very, very welcome, Father, for you for the first time. We'd love maybe in the future to also get your story of how you came to the faith. We've already done that with Father Ojeka. But today, again, we're going to talk about divine providence. And Father Ojeka, I'm just going to send it over to you. I don't know how you want to start or where you want to go with this, but I'm going to put all the pressure on you to start. So please take it away, if you will.
All right. Thank you. We, of course, the topic of divine providence is quite a very broad one, just like you hinted already. And we'll try to make it as brief as possible. It's something, if we were to develop it in depth, it might take us several shows, all right? But maybe we wouldn't want to prolong it that much. We have two broad themes to think about: what providence is, providence of God is, and how some related questions, all right? And then what must be our disposition towards providence, God's providence for us. And so in the basic catechism, it is simply said that we call God's care for his creatures divine providence, right? And when it's care of God's care for his creatures, it covers everything. Just like you have hinted. And so, of course, different authors can develop the idea or define it in different ways and to make us understand it from different perspectives. But when we speak of the providence of God, it is what? God's eternal will by which he disposes of all things whatsoever that come to pass, right? According to his own pleasure, and then how he conducts his creatures in the way that he sees fit most proper towards the ends and purposes for which he created them. See, with this description, you see that it encompasses everything from our being born to our life of glory in heaven and all of that. So the love with which God watches over his creatures is frequently testified to in the sacred scriptures, right? For instance, you hear when Judith speaking, he said, "All thy ways are prepared, and in thy providence thou hast placed thy judgments." And then in Ecclesiastes, you hear that, "Say not before the angel, there is no providence, lest God be angry at thy ways and destroy all the works of thy hands." So those who deny providence, eventually, as we'll see, for denying providence, that means you are actually denying the existence of God, because both are related. To deny one, you must deny the other. And then we read from the book of wisdom that wisdom goeth about seeking such as are worthy of her, and meeted them with all providence. All right. And then our Lord speaking to us in the gospel of according to St. Matthew said, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not you as much more value than they? So the point here is what? That God's care over his creatures is frequently attested to in sacred scriptures. And perhaps someone will say, well, you appealing to sacred scripture might not totally make sense to me, but how can we speak about this from reason? From reason, we can prove God's providence because, first of all, from the notion of God as being all-wise. Here, you see that the notion of providence coincides with the virtue of prudence for us as human beings, as God being all-wise must act in view of some end, right? And so, and also because he is infinitely good, He must care for the creatures which he has created. Okay. As human beings, because we usually think of our actions, we don't act for just arbitrarily, we act for a reason. And we know that we are contingent beings, and so we derive our wisdom from a being that has this wisdom in plenitude, things like that. And also because Father is gone.
He'll come back. Keep going, Father. No worries.
Okay. Yes. And because we God is infinitely good, he cares for his creatures. In the same way, we as creatures, human beings, we care for something that we have, we hold dear. How much more God, who is the creator of all the universe, okay? So in this case, therefore, to deny providence is actually to deny the existence of God himself, to deny God himself. But when you consider the order in the universe, the constant laws and particular ends concurring to general ends, how will this be possible if there's no providence, if there's no this care of God for the creatures? So this constancy and this concurrent particular ends tells us that there must be a wise agent that orders all of this to their ends. Just like an archer, if the arrow couldn't by itself go to kill an animal out there, except someone direct it with some intellectual power. And now, if you think about the unanimous consent of men, go to everywhere, even if they have wrong ideas about God, people of all times, they admit providence, some kind of providence, a supreme being governing the world with power, with goodness, with justice. This is true wherever you go. So those who come around to deny providence are actually those who maybe have lost some sense of their humanity, and certainly it's a sad situation.
That's a great point, Father. Well, and I mean, how do we see that today, right? As I hope Father Okerulu comes back. I don't know. I'm not sure what happened here, but I think he'll be back here hopefully shortly. But right, and as you see in the world today, I mean, I talk about this often, how I think you see so much depression and even suicide, and you see, as we get Father back here, and you see all of these issues in society, and I think that so much of it is because, exactly as you say, it's because people don't have faith in God or belief in God. And so if you don't, yeah, what you don't have any belief in anything, no, almost, right? And I think that's something that we compass. Exactly, right?
Yeah. I was saying that we treat providence includes three things, all right? And this, namely, God's infinite wisdom, that wisdom by which he knows all his creatures and all the good of which they are capable and the ends to which they can serve, and also the ways and means by which they can acquire that good and arrive at those ends. So this is the first thing, that the idea of, is included in the idea of providence, God's infinite wisdom. And then also he knows also the impediments that can hinder them from attaining those good and those ends. Everything is included. He knows all of this from all eternity, and he knows them infallibly also. The second thing included in providence is what? God's infinite goodness. That goodness which inclines him to will and choose for his creatures those means of acquiring the ends for which he creates them. Because he's a good father, he chooses the means most apt to lead his creatures to their ends. Okay? And he chooses those means that are most proper and conducive, most fit and best proportioned to each of the creatures, all right? And then most conformable to the nature and capacity of each. All of this, God knows all of that out of his goodness. And also, because of his goodness, he removes or diminishes the hindrances that they may meet in achieving the end he has stated for them, he has for them. That pertains to the infinite goodness of God. And now the third thing included is God's infinite power, okay, by which he most effectively executes in time those means which from all eternity he knew and chose for enabling his creatures to obtain the ends for which he made them. Yes. So now here we hear from what Judith said. He said, "O Lord, thou hast done the things of old and hast devised one thing after another, and what thou hast designed had been done, for all thy ways are prepared, and thy providence thou hast placed thy judgment." That is Judith 9 verse 4. Okay. That talks about the infinite power of God to bring about all that he does.
And Father, I guess my question then, or I suppose the question I can imagine, say, Protestants having would be, I mean, a couple, I suppose one, first of all, being if you... how do you have this providence and this divine plan if we also have free will, right? How does that work? Because obviously we're saying God has a plan. This is what he wants. This is how it should go. But then also God gives us the freedom to do what we will. And how does that work together? And it's a pretty tough question, I think. But I mean, I think that's what people are probably thinking.
Well, I suppose Father Kerelu will come to the rescue now.
Interestingly, before, because I intended to use my device for that, but when I was going through this work, Providence by Father Garrigou Lagrange, I saw that point being raised because he said that the deists, they say that if you say God knows everything is in God's providence, as Father has rightly said, and that he orders all things swiftly and firmly, then it means that man doesn't have his free choice to do anything without God determining him to act in a certain way. And therefore, that defeats providence, essentially defeats God's providence. Because according to the deists, they say that God's providence just extends to things in general. That is, he has created, you hear this very commonly, he has created things and he wants them to just do anything without him meddling in what they are doing. So if God has created man free with free will, which the deists would accept, still he doesn't meddle in their affairs. They can do whatever they like with that free will. Well, Garrigou says that no, that God's providence doesn't extend to his foreseeing the end, his intent decreeing the end, but he also extends to the end, the means, the manner, everything. He all of those things are part of the eternal decree of God's providence. So, for instance, God has willed that before a tree grows, that a seed must be planted. You see, so he didn't just will that the tree should be there. He has willed that the way and manner in which you should have the tree, and that once the seed is planted, that you have the rain falling, the sun coming, and all of the process of photosynthesis to enable the tree to grow. And so, in terms of man's free will, God has decreed all of that. He has decreed not only that the end of man, but the means to actualize that end, namely through man's free will. And he assists man in also fulfilling his own end if man doesn't put an obstacle to that. So that's how Garrigou explains that aspect of man's free will and God's providence. All of that is included in the divine decree of God.
Interesting. No, thank you, Father. And I mean that absolutely makes sense. So I have to say I'm probably gonna have to watch the show again because it is almost over my head a little bit. but it absolutely makes sense. But my second question then would be, according to God's goodness, if God is good, and again, this isn't necessarily coming from me, but a question I know people would ask, if God is good, then how can God allow terrible things to happen? How can people go to hell? How can children be killed? You know, for example, and I know this is a question again that people, Protestants, I think especially have an issue with, or atheists as well. As we lose Father Ojeka again, hopefully he'll be back soon. It's going to be one of those podcasts, Father. But then I'll ask you that, Father. I mean, if you can answer, I mean, if God is good, then how are we allowed to suffer all of these terrible things on earth?
Yeah, everything is willed by God, even if, as Garrigou would add, even if permissively, if God permits certain things. So evil, God does not will the evil of sin, that is sin, malice, but he only wills, permits it in order that a greater good be drawn from it. So if God permits that someone should sin against him, offend him, he only permits that in order to draw out a greater good. Even in terms of suffering, physical evil, God also wills that one to, because of when man sins, the justice of the world is affected. So to restore that order, and also that man may know that what he has done is evil, God sends him or permits that he suffer certain physical evils like famine, hunger, diseases, and all of those things of that nature, in order to correct the order of the world, and also to restore justice, and also that man might realize that what he has done is wrong, and so all of this is geared towards the good of the universe. You see, God is the one, is the creator, as it were, the designer of the universe of creation, and so everything fits perfectly into the end which God intended for the world. He doesn't just look at the particular end only, but all of those particular ends and geared towards the perfection of the whole, which is his own glory. That's why God created the world, for his own greater glory. And so when he permits those evil, it's to draw out, Garrigou always made that point, to draw out a greater good. See, always that he permits evil to draw out a greater good. That's just the principle that he kept repeating, why evil, whether it's evil of sin or evil of punishment, he is in the world.
Yeah, I see. That makes sense, Father. And I guess it's a hard thing to swallow, I suppose, especially as someone is going through these struggles. But I guess again that's also why Christ tells us to not worry. I mean, to be like the flowers of the field, and I think that's intended to not be when we're going through our best times, when life is good, and you know, of course not. I think it means when life is hard and when things seem, you know, I don't know, difficult and even evil, then that is when you have to really give things to God. And I suppose too, then Christ, you know, if you continue Christ's message, of course, that he say, you know, take up your cross, right? I mean, that's, you're going to be given a cross. Life is difficult. Life is sometimes misery, but then if you pick that up and carry it and offer it up, then you will, of course, get, you know, achieve the final goal, which is of course heaven. But let me see. I'm just trying to see if I can get Father Jacob back on here.
All right.
Perfect. All right, Father Jacob, maybe just do that again, what you just did.
Sorry.
Okay. Yes, the question of how evil, or rather providence of God, enters to the evils of his creatures, some think that to be a formidable argument against providence. But just like Father has explained, there's no argument at all, because God has foreseen from all eternity that he will create, he create creatures that has free will, and he demands of them voluntary service, all right? And so he sets good and evil before them, life and death, and then he asks them to, he leaves them to the freedom to of their own will to choose one or the other, all right? So now he proposes to them most powerful motives to induce them to choose the good. And also he threatens them with the worst miseries to deter them from choosing evil. So men eventually committing sin and all of that is because of their abuse of their free will. Meanwhile, we think about evil, of course, that is the moral evil, the evil of sin that comes from the man's abuse of free will. But there's also the evil of suffering, okay? The evil of suffering, which includes all the afflictions, pains, and miseries by which the creatures suffer, whether in body or in mind. Now, someone will ask, how, if God is so loving, or if there's this loving God, why should creatures suffer? Now, all evil of this kind, from whatever immediate occasion it arises, is ordained, intended, and expressly willed by God. But the evil that comes from man's abuse of free will, he permits that to happen because he is powerful enough to transform the evil to good, to bring out good from that evil. Okay? So all, when we, it goes to show that it is impossible for God to ever will sin, rather, or even intend it in any way, or, and he, when he permits this, it's not because he's not, he's too weak to stop it, or he's impotent, things like that, but rather, like I noted already, he wants his creatures to give him their free service voluntarily, not as a robot, just conditioned to carry out this action or that action, but no, to do that freely. Okay. Now, when we speak about three things comes to mind, or a few points must be noted when we speak about providence, that divine providence can never be mistaken or use improper means in obtaining its end, or be disappointed in obtaining its designs. So we read from a book of wisdom. It said, no evil can overcome his wisdom. It reacheth from end to end mightily, and ordereth all things sweetly. Okay? And even there are other passages that speaks about this infallibility, and then of God's providence. And then, of course, under the scheme of providence, nothing happens by chance in creation. When we speak of chance, it's only in relation to us, what we think is without a cause or without being foreseen or suspected, okay, with regards to its design and intention. But with regards to God, this is not possible. God knows everything that happens, the cause. He has ordered secondary causes to carry about for some ends. And so nothing happens by chance in the order of providence. And of course, Holy Job tells us, nothing upon earth is done without a cause. It's clearly stated there. So God's wisdom sees from eternity to eternity, Nothing is hidden from his eyes, and he has made all things in his wisdom. That is what the psalmist tells us. So everything that happens is foreknown by him and enters into his plan, his operations, and is disposed according to his purposes. Okay? So those are some of the points to be noted when speaking about providence. And also, okay, you want to say something?
No, go ahead, Father.
Okay, and then the third point is that the providence of God disposes of and directs everything that happens in creation. We'll say everything, all right, mean every single thing. It extends from the smallest creature you can think about out to whether and also to the highest creature you can think about. So his providence extends to all creatures and to all things, whether good or bad, evil. It disposes of and directs all in the way and manner which he knows most fitting and to attain the purposes. Here we speak about providence both in the order of nature and in the order of grace. The natural ends of the creatures and also the sanctification of man, the just soul, to the glory, life of glory. Everything falls under the coverage of providence. And of course, the point Father made already, without encroaching in the smallest degree into on man's free will and on or hindering second causes from going their natural way. Providence achieved all of this. But of course, making use of man's free will and second causes to accomplish most sweetly and most surely whatever he pleases. Okay. So God's providence, of course, this point we can never mention it too much, that it extends to everything, all right? The life, the little as well as the great, from the blade of the grass to the worm of the earth, as well as to men and angels. God has a special care for those who are in humble circumstances and are despised by the world. So he loves to declare his glory by means of little things. I think Bishop Dolan used to say that God looked around and he found that he couldn't find any set of people worse than we who he has chosen to be his priest these days. And I think when you think about that God, he loves to declare his glory by means of little things, which St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians. And then to buttress this fact, you see that he chose poor shepherds to be the first to receive the news of his birth, all right? And then what again? He chose poor fishermen to be his apostles and a poor maiden to be his mother. To humble the humble, he gives grace. And as St. James tells, but he rejects the proud. Okay, so the next point to think about is how providence of God manifests and exercises itself for the good of his creatures. Okay, so chiefly in three ways: providing for and bestowing upon all and every one of his creatures whatever is necessary for, conducive to their good and happiness. That is the first way, by providing all of this. And then in preserving them or delivering them from the evils that are contrary to these ends, and then in guiding and governing them towards these ends. Those are the three ways providence manifests itself: providing for and bestowing upon his creatures, preserving them in and delivering them from evils, and also guiding and governing them. So those days who say that God created the world and then absconded, abandoned it to its devices, they are sorely deceived. That is not possible. No wise person does that. How much more God? So the Psalms tells us, the eyes of all hope in thee, O Lord, and thou givest them meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and fillest with thy blessing every living creature. This tells us, it summarizes the three things that in ways in which God manifests his providence for his creatures.
It's amazing for me, fathers, and I'm sure you've seen this as well, and how oftentimes, you know, divine providence, it's not, God works in his own way, right? It's not in the way we think it should be. I know especially when I was younger, life wasn't going the way I wanted it to be. And I was like, okay, come on, you know, what's the problem? And so I think I'd pray for it, surely not enough, but I would. And then eventually it actually did work out, you know, and it actually did end up being for the best. Even the harder times became better times. And I think it's an interesting thing when you see how, as you said, Father, of course, that God cannot, God allows sin. He can never will it. But from that, I think I read it in the Trustful Surrender to Divine Providence. I think there was some paragraph where it described if someone hits you in the face, God, you know, punches you and hits you in the face, God doesn't will that person to sin in hitting you in the face, but God wills you to be hit in the face in order to you know, allow the suffering that you can offer up to become humble and patient and good. And it's something that took me a while to really kind of try to understand. And I think it's interesting because it's extremely complex, but also extremely simple, I suppose. I don't know if that makes any sense, but I mean, I guess, I don't know, Father Okeru, I don't know if you have any points on it, you know, overall, you know, what Father Ojeka just said as well.
The examples are many. In fact, this breakage of the live stream is one example of providence, because, I mean, I use this all the time. I listen to this. For it to happen is part of the providence of God. Recently, when I was on my way, I traveled on Sunday when I was coming back to Port Harcourt. Twice I would have hit someone, but it was not like I was looking at everything, thought everything was normal, but it just happened so suddenly. But I saw the providence of God in that, despite the fact that it happened twice, it could not have been that I would have missed hitting someone twice. At least I would have hit one once, because the one that happened, because the noble soul did Christ the King, and so throughout the way, you see Christ the King processions. The journey was like 4 hours drive or 5 hours, depending on how fast you're moving. The second one that happened, I was this close. I was telling Bishop O'Connor when I was making my report to him, I was this close to hitting him. If the car had not stopped, the brake was ineffective, I would have hit him. Like, once I stopped, it was just right in front, the running young boy, both of the young boys actually, just right in front of the car. And I saw it as providence, because I was the chance of looking at the procession would have been more, because that's natural for us to drive and look at the procession and see how they're doing the procession. And if that was the case, I would have hit the young man. But something just told me at that point that look ahead, because you are doing a one lane now, because it's a two lane road. I was doing you're now on a lane that is not yours. Even if there's no car coming, just look ahead. And so because of that, I didn't look at the procession, I focused forward. And as I was just taking up the speed of the car, the young man just ran across, and I held the brake right in time for me not to hit him. So my point is this: the providence of God, who orders all things, ordered that I not follow my natural instinct. My natural instinct would have been, I even saw some processions. I had someone in the car with me, would have been to be looking at the procession as you're driving, because you look ahead, no car is coming, no one is coming, they are all seeing your car. So let me just have a peek of what they're going, and maybe to critique what the procession. I look at the way Noble Soul does this and does that. But no, at that point, something just told me, look ahead. And I didn't turn right to the procession. So I was looking ahead and going, and then that happened. So just a little bit of second of distraction towards that procession, and I hit that young man. That would have been a different story altogether. So that's the way providence directs things. It's for we as human beings, God, that's one of the reasons why silence is very important. God speaks to us in different ways. You may not necessarily hear a voice. Bishop Salmon used to say that the way God speaks to us is by ideas, according to what he said. God speaks to us by ideas. You just wake up one, just almost like a bulb just comes on. You're not thinking about it, and something just drops in your mind. That's what he said. And so silence and prayer helps one to do that. In fact, that's the other point I wanted to say about providence, because the day is also further added. If God has foreseen all things, has foreseen all the actions of us, of man, he already knows what we'll do, then what's the whole point of we praying? Why do we need to pray if God has foreseen all of that? Like the saying you hear commonly, what we will be. So then why then do we need to pray if what will be, being that God has already preordained certain things and willed, permitted certain things? So why do we then need to pray? You see? And that was one other part I wanted to speak about. I don't know if I would have time for that, but maybe that's just how much I see the providence of God, that he's so intimate with us that even in the slightest bit of detail, he follows. You can see that it is God doing everything. God was just, it's too clear to us. In fact, Gary Good points that out, that the mysteries of God, the happenings in this world, to the like our Lord said, blessed are thou, O Father, that you have not revealed these mysteries to the wise and prudent of this world, but to the little ones. And so certain things that happen in the world, the wise, even like, for instance, what is happening to the church, and prudent don't understand it. They either make up things or they just cannot comprehend it, and sometimes they fall away. Like, really, what happened at Vatican II? So many people fell away from the faith, so many people apostatized, and then some people were in confusion. But to the simple and the humble, they see if they know from the faith and from infused knowledge that God has seen this, has willed this, and he knows what is best for us. He knows what is best for his church. What we just have to do is to follow him calmly and peacefully, because he's the sailor, he's the captain. He will lead us through this veil of tears to our last end. And so prayer, how does prayer feature in all of this? That certain things, of course, all things are in the providence of God. Certain things are left, as it were, because God is unchanging, left to us in certain sense that God has left that before I grant you this, before I grant you that, you must pray for it. That's the providence of God. So if you don't pray, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, because this is the way I willed it, that you must pray to get them, you won't get them if you don't pray. And so that's what the deists fail to see, that all of that, like I said earlier, not just the end, the manner and the means, the effects, all of those things are willed by God, the way it should happen. And so if God says that you will come to heaven, he has tied that you pray for it. You see, he has tied that for you to come to heaven. That's why St. Alphonse says prayer is morally necessary for salvation. You must pray for that. Always have to pray for that for you to get the grace of final perseverance. See, St. Alphonse says we obtain that grace by fervently and constantly asking for it. So that's the other aspect of it. That is so beautiful. When one understands the workings of providence, that it's almost like plugging into, just turning into a channel and seeing God just showing you by the Catholic faith, this is how my providence works, and you'll be fine if you just follow it as it is. And you don't need to think about things or trying to say, I don't understand. No, all of that is within God's purview. And some would say, how then is it that we pray for certain things and we don't have them? The theologians will respond, there are two reasons why we pray for certain things and we don't have them. One, because of our lack of trust, we don't have enough confidence. So God wants us to pray more for that, to obtain it. And two, because of the trust, and also because the things we might ask may not be in conformity with the will of God, see. So God has willed that we ask for certain things, and maybe sometimes we're asking for temporal things that are harmful and not conducive to our eternal salvation. So they're not part of God's providence for us. He doesn't grant them to us. So those are the true reasons why we don't obtain certain things we ask. And then whereas the saints, because they are so close to God, most things they ask, like Our Lady, were always in conformity with the will of God. And so it's almost as though anything they pray for, they obtain. But they are so united to God that they are in the frequency of God. So they were, as it were, thinking in the same way. I don't know if you have been in a place where you say something and someone just understands what you're saying, and the person says what follows in your mind based on the little you just said. That's exactly what I was thinking about. So that's how it is. The saints are so in the frequency of God that when they pray most of the time for what God wants them to pray for, because he inspires their prayer. He prays, as it were, the Holy Ghost prays through them. And so that's the other point I would like to speak on providence too, in regards to man.
Beautiful. No, very well said, Father. And unfortunately, Fathers, I got to get running here soon, but I would love to ask you, again, I think we could do at least one more podcast on this topic. I think it's almost, I feel like we're almost just getting started, but Father Jacob, maybe I'll ask you, I think you had a few last points before we go. I don't know about the topic in general, perhaps.
Okay, thank you. After speaking about providence, what should come to mind now is what should be the effect of believing providence in the life of the faithful, right? If you believe in providence, what should be the logical effect in your life, your daily life? Well, our spiritual authors tell us that it should inspire us with courage and also to afford us with consolation. For in the midst of all the trials and troubles of life, we know that we are in the hands of the Father who loves us and who we invoke him with confidence. Okay, so if we believe in providence, there's no bad day. Every day is just a perfect day. No matter what it is, you know that God is ordering everything according to his pleasure and for our own good. So however it is, you know that it is all working out for your own good. So for someone who believes in providence, there's no bad day. Every day is just a good and perfect day, something like that. And we should conduct ourselves to providence by humbly adoring the designs of God upon us, even when they are contrary to our expectations, all right? Or abandon ourselves to him in the events that depends on human will, all right? For instance, accidents, incurable diseases, or affliction. Often, we should learn to say, "Thy will be done, thy will be done." In fact, our Lord taught us that prayer for a reason. He said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Because in heaven, the will of the saints are united with God's will, just like Father just said. So, and we want that to be done here also on earth, so that we will be living saints, as it were. So, people should always make this habit of always submitting to God's will, saying often, "Thy will be done." And we submit to God's providence also in what the sufferings brought to us by the injustice and ill will of men. Okay? God permits that in other words to, I think Father mentioned it, to make us learn virtue, give us an occasion to practice heroic virtue like patience, for instance, or kindness or generosity, things like that. And we should even submit to the providence of God in evil things brought to us or that happens to us through our own failings and weakness and indiscretions, all right? You make some mistake and then you have to face the effect willingly as God permits it to happen to you. So we abandon ourselves to God's providence with regards to our past, abandon it to his mercy. Our present, we abandon it to his love, right? And providence. And we abandon even our future also to him because he orders all of this without us getting worried. What we should worry about is what to seek first, God's kingdom, as our Lord tells us, and every other thing will be added to it. So we know that the evils that happens to us, God permits them, and because he can transform them to good, he brings out good from them. So God turns sin itself into good. How? there are two ways we can think about that. For instance, in tolerating evildoers and persecutors, God furnishes the just man and with occasion of practicing heroic virtues. As I've said already, our Lord tells us that blessed are they that suffer persecution for justice's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So persecution, defamation, and all of these come into play even in the plan of providence. And then in pardoning the repentant sinner, God manifests his mercy and his clemency. And then in punishing the impenitent sinner, he displays his eternal justice. So this is how God turns sin into good. And so, of course, one of those things, again, that the belief in providence should effect in us is what? After we abandon ourselves to providence, we should also collaborate with providence, all right? Don't just sit idle, like some quietists think that, well, since God has everything in control, you just sit there and wait for manna to fall from heaven. No way. You have to fulfill your daily duties. It is in that way you collaborate with providence. That is why our Lady, Mother of Divine Providence, she teaches us to learn and discern, to trail the ways of providence and to collaborate with the providence, being as it were worthy instruments of providence. So I think that sums it up. Except Father wants to add something.
No, that's perfect.
Perfect. Well, fathers, I greatly appreciate it. I greatly appreciate the topic and your patience with this internet. As you said, Father, that the evil of this internet connection, I know for sure good will come out of it. So that will be, I guess, a little bit of providence. And thanks to the person who's going to have to edit this. We appreciate you as well, because you're working. You're a big part of it as well. But it did require a lot of patience to get through this one. But I know once it's put together, it's going to be beautiful. It really is. It is the most hopeful thing. I mean, really, I mean, that is what we have hope in. And Christ just tells us, hey, don't worry. I mean, that's an amazing thing, right? I mean, that's oversimplifying, I suppose. But don't worry. Trust in me, and you're good. Take up your crosses. And as Father Jacob said, if you really are like that, you're not going to have a bad day in your life. And if we could just get it into our heads, that's the hard part, right? That's the hard part of actually doing it. But if we did, we'd be the happiest people on earth. And that is pretty nice to think that, okay, if we do that, we can go to heaven and be happy on earth. That's God made it almost too simple for us, just not easy. I suppose that's the point, that we have to try to get to the point where we just do it. But fathers, thank you again so much. I hope to have you both on again to cover some other topic, perhaps touch on this one a little bit more with a better internet connection. But until then, fathers, thank you so much. And also, please, everyone, go and support the Nigerian missions. They have so much going on. I know Father Jake, I don't have much time, unfortunately, but Father Jake, you're telling me there are now oblates of divine providence in Nigeria. Do you have 1 minute to tell me about that, perhaps?
Oh, the Guanelian Oblates of the Mother of Divine Providence, their mission, of course, is to assist the clergy in the apostolate as lay sisters and offering their services in praise of providence, all right? All they do is in praise of providence, and also in reparation for the outrages committed against providence in all over the world. And so that is basically the reason for their existence.
Great. And I think you said there's three of them now, Father, right? And it's just every time I talk to you, fathers, or to Bishop McCormick, there's always something new going on, a new building, a new church, a new parish, two new priests coming, God willing, in January. That's another thing I saw on Facebook, His Excellency also saying that the deacons, they need things, that's a terrible word, but they need parts of their, you know, to help them, you know, have the priestly ministry, chalices, vestments, etc. So please support these deacons, the priests, the bishop, everything that's going on in Nigeria. I think the best way to do that, we talked about this before, is to go to sgg.org. They have a donate button. If that doesn't work, then perhaps contact through the sgg.org website as well, and then you can send money to them and help out with. I know it's countless projects that it will go to a good place. I'm absolutely sure of that. So please support our fathers and our sisters in His Excellency over in Nigeria, sgg.org. Fathers, thank you again so much. Thank you for your patience, and until next time, God bless you both.
Thank you.
God bless you. God bless you.